Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so I want to talk to you from the subject of the greatest gift, the greatest gift. You know, there's a song that says that it's the most wonderful time of the year, talking about Christmas, and I agree that Christmas is probably one of the most wonderful times of the year. It's time when family gets together that maybe you haven't even seen all year. Sometimes it's times when relationships are broken that can be mended during this time because people's hearts are soft. Some families like to go and, see the Christmas lights that are on people's houses that are decorated. Some like to either see Christmas carols or go Christmas caroling. But I think you would agree one of the things from the natural standpoint of view that people love the most is the presents. You got it? I want Christmas presents. You got it? As a kid, we were very excited to have a Christmas presents. And, you know, if mom and dad weren't around, you would take the box and shake it and try to figure out what was on the inside. You got it? And so, you know, and kids are very excited about those kind of things. I think adults are still very excited about Christmas gifts. And so, but I submit to you that Jesus is the absolute greatest gift that God has ever given to anybody. Amen? And so it's really not season's greetings. It's really not Happy Holidays. It certainly isn't Merry Xmas, but it is without a doubt Merry Christmas because Jesus is the reason for the seasons. Amen? And so go with me to John 3:16. I'll be there in a few minutes, but I want you to go ahead and put your finger on it. And so I want to talk about the greatest gift. And so John 3:16 is the greatest and best known verse in the Bible. All right. If you are watching a football game, you'll see someone hold a sign with John 3:16. Out west, if you ever go out there, they have a burger place called In-N-Out. Under every cup is John 3:16. If you are driving through the hood, over the bridge, there's graffiti everywhere, but there's going to be some graffiti that says John 3:16. You got it? That's just how that is. And so it's the greatest and best known verse, and it should be. It summarizes the Bible in one single sentence. It tells you how to settle your eternal destiny in one single verse, and it's all about God's magnificent love towards us. So let's put John 3:16 up on the screen, and let's talk about that for a little while. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the central word of this verse is Son. I'm a teacher. I like to look at things. I'm just like that. And so when you begin to look at this verse, you're going to notice that there are 25 words in this verse. The first 12 have to do with God, and then in the middle, Son, and then the last 12 have to do with man. So Jesus came to bring God and man together. He is the bridge. He is the door. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So by God sending his only begotten Son into the earth to do ministry and ultimately die for our sins, he brought back the possibility of man having a relationship with God. And so watch this. So I can get saved and live an incredible life here on the earth. You got it? And then when I close my eyes here on the earth, I'll open my eyes in heaven so I can spend eternity with Jesus. I don't know about you, but that is the greatest gift you could ever get. Amen? Now clap for me real good right there, everybody in the room. All right. Okay, so I've got two simple points. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to have them put the first point on the screen. And the first point is the greatest love. The greatest love. So the Bible says, for God so. Everybody say so. So God so loved the world. The word so in the Greek is huto, and it is an adverb of intensity, theologians say. So theologians say that you don't just read it, for God so loved the world. The theologians say, you say, for God so loved the world. In other words, no one will ever love you with the intensity that God loves you. Like he is the only person I know that knows everything about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he'll never change his mind. You got it. On your worst day, he will never change his mind about you. And I don't know about you, but that's something to be thankful for. So his love is extravagant. His love is indescribable. His love is undeniable. And I want to share with you four factors as it relates to God's love. Four factors as it relates to God's love. And so letter A, God's love is eternal. Everybody say eternal. So God's love is eternal. Ephesians, the first chapter and the fourth verse, I'm reading out of the Message translation. Watch this. And I really want you to pay attention to these scriptures. It says, long before he laid down earth's foundation, God did what? Had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love. So you were made and created to be loved by God from the foundation of this earth, from the beginning of time, and that is why you are valuable. You got it? Because God sent his only son. He sent the greatest gift who made, point number two would be the greatest sacrifice. Might as well just tell you. He sent the greatest gift to make the greatest sacrifice, and that is what makes you valuable. So you have to understand, it doesn't matter if somebody doesn't like you, if somebody ain't feeling you, or now they have the word vibe in you. You know, it's hard to keep up with all this stuff. Somebody's not vibing you and all that. It doesn't matter. Your value does not decrease based on somebody's inability to see your worth. You are God's prized possession. You are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection. When he made you out of his own DNA. He made you out of his image and out of his likeness. And that is what makes you valuable. All right. And so you've got to understand that you can gain no more value than the value that God has already put on you. Isn't that right? So, you know, because some people say, you know, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to do better. And I appreciate that. And I think that we should all do that. But there's nothing at all that you can do that's going to give you any more value. So letter A was that God's love is eternal. All right, everybody say letter B. Letter B, God's love is universal. God's love is universal. Psalms 145 and 9 in the New Living Translation says, watch this. I want you to put your eyes up on the screen because I want you to say this one word. The Lord is good to
everyone.
Yes, not just the people that you like. Not just the ones that you invited to your Christmas party. You got it? But the Bible says that the Lord is good to everyone. Watch this. He showers compassion on all creation. And so God loves absolutely everybody. Every race, every creed, every color, every group. God loves absolutely everybody. And notice that the verse does not say it's based on behavior. There's nothing that you can read in the Bible that says God loves you based on behavior. Yes, I believe God wants us to have good behavior. I believe God wants us to live righteous and those kind of things. But you notice that there's no scripture that says God loves you if. There's no scripture that said God loves you because. You got it? No, God loves you, which takes me, or God's love for you, which takes me to letter C, is God's love for you is unconditional. So there are no conditions to God's love. There are absolutely no conditions to God's love. One thing I love about his love, you know, he's given us grace and he's given us mercy. When you understand grace, there's nothing good enough you can do to deserve it, but there's nothing bad enough you can do to get rid of it. That's what makes it grace. You got it? You know, the Bible says that his mercy renews absolutely every day. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 39th verse says, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the Bible teaches nothing can separate us from the love of God. The writer in the KJV says neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. He says nothing is going to separate us from the love of God because God's love is not based on what you do, but God's love is based on who he is. When I was a little boy, we used to, you know, sing songs kind of like they did for the play and, you know, learn different things. And 1 John 4:7-8, when I was a little kid, they made it into a song so that way you could, you know, that's how you kind of memorize things. I'm not going to sing it to you because I'm not a singer, all right? But I will tell you what it says. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I need you to catch this next part. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You got it? And so that is why it is important that we love everybody. Okay, I got three amens. Amen. No, we love everybody. See, through every challenge you've ever had, God has always loved you. You got it? When you thought you deserved it and when you thought you didn't deserve it, God loved you in spite of. You got it. Through every trouble, even when we got in trouble and it was our fault, and we dig a hole and we dug holes even deeper, we serve this God that some kind of way just has made it up in his mind that he is never going to stop loving us. David was just, he was dumbfounded almost. I don't know if that's a good word. But anyways, he said, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? Like, when I see how you put the stars and they don't fall and they stay in place, and the moon and the sun, it rotates and everything works. He said, all of creation does exactly what you tell it to do, except sometimes man doesn't do what you tell it to do. And even when man doesn't do what you tell it to do, what is man that you are so mindful of him? And so God's love for you is indescribable and it's undeniable. I want you to get this. You can never, God can never love you any more or any less than he does right now. You got it. So God's love for you, you got it, is at an all-time high, and there's nothing you can do to gain any more love, because from the beginning, he gave you all of him. Does that make sense? All right. So let's rehearse. Letter A, we'll put it up on the screen. God's love is what, class? Eternal. Letter B, God's love is? All right. Letter C, God's love is? All right, and my last one, letter D, is God's love is multidimensional. God's love is multidimensional. What do you mean that it's multidimensional? Ephesians, the third chapter and the 18th verse, this one I'm pulling from the Living Bible. It says, and may you be able to, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's the seventh word. All right, get ready to say the seventh word. And may you be able to, all right, he says, may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. And so the Bible says, the writer, when Paul was writing at the church of Ephesus, he said, I don't want you just to be able to understand God's love. He says, I want you to be able to feel God's love. Because there are people who say, well, you know, I know God loves me, but. No. God doesn't want you just to have an understanding that he loves you. God wants you to feel his love. He wants you to feel his love. So let's talk about this. How, with this length and this depth and this height and this width, you know, how does that work? I mean, Pastor, you said that the Bible says that his love is long. How long is his love? Well, the first bullet point I have is his love is long enough to last forever. His love is long enough to last forever. Sometimes human love doesn't work out because human love sometimes wears out. You got it. People change their mind about you. They walk away from it. And you can't do anything about those kind of things. But you serve a God that has made a commitment to you that he's going to love you forever, that he's never going to leave you, that he's never going to forsake you, that he's going to be with you through the good, the bad, and the ugly. He said, if everybody walks away, you understand? He says, I'm always going to be there with you. And so God's love is long enough to last absolutely forever. The Bible says from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. All right. How wide is his love? His love is wide enough to be everywhere. There is no place you can go where God's love is not. You got it. There's no place you can go. There may be times that you feel alone, but you're never really alone. God is always with you. When you begin to understand the attributes of God, the Bible says that he's omniscient, meaning that he's all-knowing. But the Bible also teaches us that he's omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere. The Bible says he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is ever-present. So we serve this God that is with me all the time. And I told you earlier that God is love. So if God is with me all the time, then love is with me all the time. So even in a moment where I feel alone, if I can get myself together, I realize that I'm really not alone because love is always there. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap. All right. Pastor, how deep is God's love? How deep is God's love? This is a good one, because God's love is deep enough to handle anything. You got it. No matter how deep your problem, your past, or your pain, his love is deep enough to handle it. You got it. Being Christians, we're not exempt from adversity. Psalms 34:19 teaches us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I'm so glad that it does not stop there. The writer says that God makes a commitment that he's going to deliver us out of not some of them, but he's going to deliver us out of all of our problems. And so no matter how tough your problems are, and I'm not making light of your situation, I know that in life we can go through some pretty serious stuff, but I'm just getting you to understand that God's love is deep enough to handle the worst problems you can ever go through. His love is deep enough to handle your past and how bad it was and the things you did that you don't want anybody to know about. And then his love is deep enough to handle any pain that you might go through. is deep enough. You got, you know, and one thing about pain, you know, pain is a strange company keeper. I mean, it transcends across the color of your skin, your educational background, you know, or what side of the world you live on. You can, you know, you could be a, how many mamas I got in the house? Wave at me if you're a mama. Okay, so you can be in the house watching the news and hear over in another country somewhere, say in China, a bomb went off. You got it? And there's a mama that is running around looking for her child because she doesn't know where it is. You all of a sudden have this connection, you understand? Because you are feeling the pain that she feels because you understand the love, you got it, that you have for your child, so you can only imagine what she's going through. And God's love, watch this now, God's love is deep enough to even help her in that situation. Does that make sense? All right, so it is long enough to last forever. It is wide enough to be everywhere. It is deep enough to handle anything, and it is high enough. How high is it, Pastor? It is high enough to overcome any barrier. Big Mike, I know you're walking away, but come this way. So it's high enough to overcome any barrier. It's high. Come here, Manuel. Elder C, if you don't mind coming up on stage. All right. So this is the issue. Well, sometimes hurt can cause you to build barriers. And so what happens is, Elder, I'm going to have you stand right in front of me in the middle, sir, and you're going to face the congregation. And so, yep, all right, just like that. Now, Mike, you turn around and you look that way, and you just take a step to your right, your other right. Yeah, there you go. Emmanuel, you take a step to your left, your other left. There you go. All right. All right, one more right, Mike. So what happens is when hurt comes in our lives, you know, you ever been hurt by somebody? Like, where in the world did that come from? You got it. And then you let it go, but if you get hurt again or if you get hurt again, you're like, oh, hold on, time out, wait a minute. You got it. And then if that same situation happens with somebody else or somebody else, what we do is, because we want to protect ourselves, we put these barriers around us. And what we don't realize is barriers are good for keeping bad people out, but what we don't realize, if you put up these walls, if you put up these barriers, not only do you keep bad people out, but you keep good people out too. You got it? And so what happens is you have to depend on God's love to help you through every situation, because what happens is if God is sending you to help me or to love me or to be my friend or to comfort me, and I've got all, now Mike, get next to Elder C. Get shoulder to shoulder right there. That's good. And Manuel, get right there. All right. Just like that. And Emilio's daughter, baby girl. Come here. Turn this way, Mike. Right. Come this way. I want you to just walk straight up to Mr. Manuel. Just walk straight up to him. Right there, stop. Pretty big guy, ain't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, she said, yeah. So you see what happens? God might send her to me to help me, to be my friend, to encourage me, but because I've got all these walls up, so what I have to do is depend on God's love, and that way I can let these walls go down so God can do what he has to do in my life. Is that good? All right, thank y'all, brothers. I appreciate that. Give them a big hand. Sometimes it's not hurt that could cause us to build barriers, but it's shame and guilt that can cause us to build barriers. Because of our past, and well, we've messed up, and you know, and we don't want anyone to know. Listen, let me just tell you something about the grace and the mercy of God. If you made a mistake, if you messed up, I don't care if it's private, I don't care if it's public. If you go to God with a contrite heart, and you have a sincere heart, and you ask God to forgive you, he is going to forgive you. He's going to throw it into the sea of forgiveness to remember it no more. Shame on the devil if he remembers. Shame on other people if they remember. But you got to keep your head up and say, what's in the past is in the past. This is a new season. This is a new day. And I'm not worried about that anymore. Does that make sense? Because how many know the society we live in is very unforgiving? You got it. But God isn't, and that's all that matters. All right? Because what God thinks about you matters most, right? And so, you know, but Pastor, I messed up too much. Nope. Everybody say nope. Nope. Which brings me to number two, which is our greatest sacrifice. All right. So the greatest sacrifice, the Bible says that he gave his only begotten son. Are y'all getting blessed?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to go through the sacrifice part, and I tried to do my best, but I think I have 23, 24 scriptures. And so anyways, but we're going to go through them, and it's going good. Y'all are doing great. Good class, all right? So the Bible says that he gave his only begotten son, he didn't have three sons and he gave one. He didn't have two sons and he gave one. He gave his only son. Watch this. He didn't send the angel. He didn't send the prophet. He didn't send the good teacher, but he sent his son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You got it? Colossians, the first chapter, and the 15th verse, the first part of Colossians 1 and 15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. John 14 and 9 says, anyone, Jesus is talking here, when you see it in red, it means Jesus is talking. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So God loved you and me so much that he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. Romans 5 and 8, I love this. In the KJV, this is NIV, in the KJV, it says that God commended or he proved. You got it? NIV is prove. I'm sorry, NLT is prove. But he says in the NIV, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were, KJV says, yet sinners, this says still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. So he didn't wait for us to try to get it together. He understood that we were going to need him. And so what happens is God had a plan to redeem all mankind back to him. All right? 1 John 2 and 2 in the Message translation says, when Jesus served as a sacrifice for our sin, watch what he did. He solved the sin problem for good. Not only ours, but the whole world's. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 in the Living Bible says, God, I love this, God took the sinless Christ. So he was spotless, he was blameless, right? Didn't do any wrong. And the Bible says that he took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then, in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. We call this the great exchange. So God had this plan to redeem. So he takes, watch this, everything that was bad, all of our sin, and watch this, you got to get this, everything that we've ever done, and everything that we will ever do, because there's a penalty that has to be paid, and God poured it and put it all on Jesus to take care of it for us, and then he put his goodness into us. And let me tell you what, when you read that scripture, that is why you should not be a mean Christian. I can't get nobody to clap in this house. Because God took all of our sins away, past, present, and future, and has already paid the price. That's not possible. Yes, it is possible. Jesus has already done it. That's like if I was to tell Ben, you can, every time you go to Outback from now on, it's paid. I gave them my personal Amex card. When they see you walk in, it's already paid. So every time Ben walks in, even though today is Sunday, you got it, and he's planning on going on Wednesday, it's already been taken care of. And then if he decides to go again on Friday, it's already been taken care of. And then if he decides to go again on Sunday, it has already been taken care of. And so even though God wants us to, he says, I present you, I got to calm down, I'm getting excited. He says, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And so he wants us to be, he wants us to live righteous, and he wants us to do things, but God knew we were going to make mistakes. And then he says, when you made a mistake, Jesus already paid for it. And then on Wednesday, if you made a mistake, Jesus already paid for it. And then on Friday, and people don't like that, but it's in the Bible, and you got to say what the Bible says. Does that make sense? Because the Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. You got it? And so if we walk around like we've never sinned, if we've never made a mistake, and we've never done anything wrong, and we've never went off on somebody, then the Bible says that if you do that, then you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Does that make sense? All right? Because at the end of the day, no matter how you look at it, no matter how successful you are, no matter how good looking you are, no matter, any of those things that society says, we all still need Jesus. At the end of the day, Jesus is the thing that you need more than anything. Does that make sense? All right. So this was called the Great Exchange. Now, see, the difference between religion. I'm about to wrap it up. So the difference between. Oh, right on time. So the difference between religion and relationship is the difference between the words do and done. Okay, let me explain that. The difference between religion and relate. God doesn't want you to have religion. He wants you to have a relationship with him. All right? So the difference between that are the words do and done. Every other religion is all has to be about you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. You got it? Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus Christ and everything he has already done for you on Calvary. So when Jesus was on the cross, what did he say before he gave up the ghost? It is finished. What was finished? The penalty for all of our sins. And that's why I tell people, you know, it's a lie when people say, well, God, you know, that hell is a place that God sends people he doesn't like. That's not true because God loves everybody. Hell's a place you go on your own so you can pay for your own sins. But my whole thing is, why would you pay for your own sins when they've already been paid? Does that make sense? Yeah. So let me walk, you know, let me walk through these scriptures and then we'll get out of here. Let's go home, Courtney. Titus 2 and 11 says the free gift of eternal salvation is offered to not some, but to all, everyone. Acts 10 and 35 says it makes no difference who you are or where you're from. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And so, if you want God and are ready to do as he says, watch what the writer says. He said the door is open. Well, what do I do, Pastor? I'm so glad you asked. Romans 10 and 9. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And a lot of times people, they really, their doctrine is off sometimes when it comes to that. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I am saved. Yes, I understand once I become saved, my spirit man becomes alive to Christ. My soul, it's got some work to do. You understand? That's why I need to come to church and I need to hear the word and I need to go to men's Bible studies and women's Bible studies so I can learn how to live this Christian life out. Does that make sense? But I'm just as saved as I'm ever going to be saved. And so what that means is I have to believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for me and that I need him in my life to the degree I'm willing to repent of my sins and confess him the Lord of my life. Normally when I'm saying this, your head is bowed and your eyes are closed. But I want to show you what repentance looks like because most people do not really understand what repentance looks like. This is what repentance looks like. I was walking in the wrong direction and I realized that I'm a sinner, that I'm in need of a Savior, and God died for me and I decided to repent. Repent simply means to make a U-turn and start heading in the right direction. The Bible says, amen. The Bible says, every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. 1 Peter 1 and 3, and the message says it a little bit differently. He says it's the same point. But Jesus was raised from the dead. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. Because you have Jesus on the inside of you, you have everything to live for. I know sometimes it gets challenging, but you got everything to live for. I know you deal with pain sometimes, but you've got everything to live for. I know people can go crazy on you, but you've got absolutely everything to live for. I know there's struggles in life, but I promise you, you've got everything to live for. He says, including, watch this, not only just the life here on earth, but a future in heaven. He says, but the future starts now. My last scripture. He says, right now, 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Okay, they're on it. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. I like to say it this way. Jesus took care of you yesterday so he can have you tomorrow. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. So maybe you're here today and you